For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. The other morning, I woke up from a dream that I couldn't save my family from nuclear radiation. No matter how hard I prepared, no matter what I did, it was temporary. There would be no way of escaping the radiation. And this is precisely what I heard at a news conference on Tuesday with nuclear experts.
Whole regions of the state could be left uninhabitable by an accident like that, including New York City. An accident like that could cost hundreds of billions to trillions of dollars in damages. And precious natural resources like Lake Ontario and the Hudson River could be lost permanently.
Tim Judson is Executive Director of Nuclear Information and Resource Service. It's a national nuclear watchdog group that advocates for a carbon-free and nuclear-free energy future. He says between positive developments happening at the state level and dire circumstances involving nuclear power plants, especially Indian Point reactors near New York City, New York's energy future is really at a crossroads right now. This is from a new energy policy which has been proposed by New York State's Public Service Commission. What it would do is set an enforceable renewable energy standard target for New York State of 50% renewable energy by 2030. Now, this is good, right? But Judson says this measure is tainted by an unprecedented measure to subsidize nuclear power plants for the first time since the deregulation of power plants 15 years ago.
If enacted as proposed, the Public Service Commission's Clean Energy Standard would make nuclear power the most subsidized energy source in the state of New York. Virtually all New Yorkers would be forced to pay effectively a nuclear tax of hundreds of millions of dollars per year, totaling billions of dollars by 2030.
This sounds very similar to what happened with the bank bailouts.
The rationales that are provided for this nuclear subsidy tier are essentially that nuclear is too big to fail. And we knew that was, we've now learned that wasn't the case with the banks. It would have been better to have accountability. In the case of the nuclear plants, it's just completely unproven that we can't meet our emissions goals. And, like I said, we've done our own analysis that shows that's not the case.
There's an irony here that needs to be mentioned, says David Freeman. He's nuclear expert, engineer, attorney, former head of the New York Power Authority and other nuclear utilities. He's also senior advisor to Friends of the Earth's nuclear campaign.
The whole deregulation of electric power started in California. You know why? Because the nuclear power plants had cost overruns in the terms of billions and billions of dollars. So the state decided that this cost-plus system was just killing the consumer, mainly because the nuclear power plants ended up costing billions of dollars more than what they were advertised. So we went to a market system so the marketplace could make sure that we got competitive prices. Now the nuclear plants are failing in the marketplace, and the most ridiculous thing of all is now we have the governor of New York wanting to subsidize the damn things when the whole idea was to get them out of the cost plus deal because they cost too much and see if they could compete. They failed, and so for failing, he wants to reward them. It's counterproductive.
And what of Governor Cuomo, who says he wants to shut down Indian Point?
Well, that's a good thing to say. Let's make it happen. You don't make it happen by handing out subsidies to other nuclear power plants. It kind of dilutes your message, in my humble opinion.
Freeman says the governor controls agencies that could help shut the plant down. Paul Gallet is executive director of Riverkeeper.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has acknowledged in explicit terms that if the state of New York does not provide a water quality certificate and a water intake and discharge permit, then the Nuclear Regulatory Commission may not, cannot, and will not relicense Indian Point.
Yeah, but Paul, let me gently point out, they don't need to relicense it. The NRC's rules are that as long as you keep a license proceeding going, you can keep operating the plant. So under their rules, you could continue another 20 years while the hearings go on and the plant stays online. So we've got to sever this relationship. I mean, the thing about it is the plants are outlaw plants today. Both those units are 2 years beyond their license, and the license proceeding goes on, but the plants are not shut down, and so we got to go beyond the lip service to having the power to using the power, in my opinion.
So the hearings in the state permitting process ended in November. Briefs were filed as post-trial briefs last month. The reply briefs are due next month. There'll be a ruling on the issue of relicensing at the state level. When the state issues its ruling, if it is to deny the water quality certificate and to deny the water intake and discharge permit, then I believe the state of New York, and I know Riverkeeper, will seek to end the charade of a relicensing process that cannot possibly succeed for the lack of not one, but two, and possibly three state authorizations that are essential to relicensing. This will not drag on past the date upon which New York makes its rulings. At that point, it will be time to go to court and end the charade.
But the NRC is hell-bent on renewing licenses, according to Galay, because that's where they get their reason for being.
It's much more of a relicensing agency and a propping up agency than it is a regulatory agency. Although, to give them credit where credit is due, at least they call their staff out for the grossly insufficient analysis of how dangerous an accident at Indian Point would be. And that is virtually unprecedented. And that shows you just how willing the staff is to look the other way and relicense Indian Point. So for a regulatory agency, which President Obama, when he was candidate Obama, referred to as a moribund agency completely captured by the industry it is supposed to regulate, when the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says they can't relicense Indian Point without the state permits, I think that's pretty good proof that we'll go into court on a solid basis unless Entergy just agrees to close Indian Point and to move on. The handwriting is on the wall. This plant is too old. The issues that plague it get worse and worse every month. And take my word for it, you do not want to find out how much worse they can get. Failed bolts in the core of reactor number 2 at a rate 4 times higher than previously seen at any reactor, that's bad enough. We don't know what's happening to the bits of the bolts that may have fallen to the floor of the reactor. As Manna has pointed out, we don't know what other damage is going on in that core of the reactor. We don't know whether there's interference with the flow of cooling water. And we don't know anything about what's going on at Reactor 3, which is just about as old and has operated for just about as many hours and has not been tested as has Reactor 2.
Susan Hito Shapiro is with the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition.
I'm an attorney who's been fighting this battle for quite a while.
So this is radio, but I would like you to explain what you're holding here.
What I'm holding here is a thermal pollution map. It's an aerial thermal pollution map of the Hudson River from Indian Point. And what we see is an enormous plume of red and yellow that is extremely hot water that's being put out by the plant every single day. Every single day the plant operates, it creates enormous quantities of thermal pollution, billions of gallons a day of thermal pollution. And what it's doing is changing the ecosystem of the area.
Explain what thermal pollution is.
Thermal pollution is heat. It's hot water. So the normal temperature of the river is, let's say, 60 degrees, 65 degrees. The thermal pollution would make it 80 degrees. It could be 20 degrees hotter, 25 degrees hotter, on some days 15 degrees hotter. So it's one of the reasons in certain areas in France and in the south, they close nuclear plants in the summer because the rivers they're using to cool them aren't cool enough to cool down the hot that's going through nuclear plants. Because we have to remember, all nuclear plants are really hot. It's the hottest thing that human beings do on the planet. So one thing that's never considered, we talk about emissions. There are radioactive emissions that we can't see, but there are also thermal emissions that are constantly coming out of nuclear plants. And those thermal emissions are directly heating the planet and directly causing climate change. So I've worked with Marvin Reznikoff, who's a physicist, PhD, nuclear physicist, on calculating the heat from nuclear reactors. And what we calculated was worldwide, the heat from nuclear reactors has produced enough BTUs to melt 25% of all the Earth's ice. It's an enormous amount. And when we talk about climate change, nuclear is a cause of climate change. Nuclear is not the solution of climate change. Nuclear is not emission-free, and it's not carbon-free. Nuclear, not only the whole life cycle of nuclear, use a lot of carbon, but actually every day a nuclear reactor operates, it creates new carbon. There are new carbon atoms that are produced in fission. Like the sun makes carbon, well, nuclear fission makes carbon. No one's ever thought about it. Only in 2010 has the NRC even started to consider it and estimate it, but they've never measured it. We don't know how much carbon any nuclear plant actually spits out, but we do know that every day it releases radioactive carbon-14 as methane and CO2. We don't know the amount, but we do know that it's changing the carbon balance on the planet because it's creating new carbon that didn't exist before. Whereas fossil fuels are releasing sequestered carbon that was in our ecosystem, well, this is brand new carbon. So we don't know what that means. Nuclear is an experiment, it's a scientific experiment gone wrong. And it's time for us to stop doing it because we don't know what to do with the waste, we don't know how to manage the heat, we don't know how to deal with the radionuclides and how it affects public health, and we certainly don't know how to manage falling apart reactors because it's an experiment. They don't know why the reactor's bolts have fallen out because it's an experiment. There's no historical data on this stuff.
Tell us about the other side of this.
Okay, and the other side is...
Explain what we're looking at.
What we're looking at is a map that was produced by Entergy, the owners of Indian Point, and it shows the plume of radioactive tritium that is being leaked from Indian Point number 2 and going into the Hudson River. It's an underground plume. Now, we originally were told that it was like a reservoir size, like a New York City reservoir kind of plume. We all assumed it was a few feet deep and it was just going out that way. Well, the recent maps, when this new spike happened, show that this plume is extremely deep. It goes about 2 skyscrapers down into the bedrock. And then that's where it's leaking out into the Hudson. So it's really affecting our groundwater in New York State and in probably all nuclear reactors, but it happens to be Indian Point is built into bedrock. So through the fissures and the cracks, the plume of radiation, it's tritium, strontium, and cesium, is all going down through the bedrock, and it's leaking out into the Hudson River. The NRC's entire plan to deal with this is what they call attenuation. What does that mean? Attenuation means let it leak into the Hudson River. That's what it means. That's their whole plan. They have no plan on how to deal with all this pollution of garbage, radioactive garbage that they've already put into our groundwater. They're just going to let it contaminate the Hudson River.
So tell our listeners about the meeting tomorrow.
The meeting tomorrow is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has an annual assessment hearing in Tarrytown at the Doubletree Inn. It starts at 6 o'clock, I believe they're having an information session, and then the public will have an opportunity to hear from the NRC what they're doing about the bolts, a little bit, we hope, and then have time to comment on how we feel about the whole nuclear problem.
Manna Jo Green is Director of Environmental Action. She says replacing bolts at Indian Point, a big mistake.
Replacing old brittle and deteriorating bolts with new bolts into plates and other structures that have been exposed to the same conditions of high heat, radioactivity, vibration, and radiation, everything that occurs inside a nuclear reactor, can have embrittled the former plates as well. And so putting bolts into aging structures can actually that are potentially embrittled can actually cause more danger. And finally, I think the reactors aside, there is still an ongoing danger of the overcrowded fuel pools, severely overcrowded fuel pools. That's our day-to-day danger. We have health dangers. We have reasons not to subsidize these plants. But with 4 to 5 times the amount of radioactivity in the fuel pools, deteriorating liners between each of the racks that are holding the fuel pools, the inability to even visualize whether the fuel pools are leaking, ultimately a spontaneous fuel pool fire presents a very, very serious danger.
And for Joe Mangano, who is a scientist and executive director of the Radiation and Public Health Project, closing down Indian Point is a matter of health.
First of all, we took a look at the official reported emissions into the air over the years, and we found that Indian Point was the 5th highest emitter of any U.S. nuclear plant. Number 2, we did a unique study. It was called the Tooth Fairy Project. And I know that sounds like a fun little game that children play. No, it is a very serious piece of scientific research, not invented by us, but done way back in the 50s and 60s when they were testing atomic bombs above the ground. We collected and tested 5,000 teeth for one of the 100-plus chemicals found only in nuclear plants and bombs called strontium-90. Most of them were near 6 nuclear plants, including Indian Point. And we found that Indian Point had the highest of the 6 plants, the highest average strontium-90 in teeth. And we found that as the 80s and 90s went on, the averages were going up. Finally, we have done a number of studies of the actual disease and death rates around Indian Point. We typically use the 4 counties that sort of flank the plant: Putnam, Orange, Rockland, and Westchester. Cancer rates are generally high, childhood cancer rates are generally high, but the real big one has been thyroid cancer. Now, thyroid cancer is going up all across the country, but it is especially sharp near Indian Point. Since the late 1970s, after really no change for 2 decades, at that time, 50 cases a year of the disease were diagnosed in the 4 counties. Today, that number is 500, okay? A number that is somewhere around 60 or 70% above the national average. So we, in closing, we feel that while all these issues are very important, we should always keep in mind that primarily we're talking about a health issue that is not just a potential issue, but an actual issue to the many living near Indian Point.
Yet with all the talk about dangers posed by Indian Point, there are still those, including New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who says New York needs the energy provided by Indian Point. Tim Judson says you repeat a lie often enough and people start to believe it.
And I think it's a convenient lie for a lot of people to believe that, you know, all we need to do is keep Indian Point going to keep the lights on. And I think, you know, as you'll see, is that Entergy also, you know, invests a lot of money in public relations and in politics and lobbying. Common Cause New York did a report 3 years ago specifically on Entergy's political and lobbying activities around Indian Point. And what they found is that Entergy is spending millions of dollars a year on essentially, you know, sort of indoctrinating people into the belief that we need Indian Point, you know, spinning untruths about Indian Point's role in our energy supply, about how safe it is. And then they're investing a lot of money in politics and lobbying, essentially to keep politicians in New York State from asking the right questions.
Now we got these nuclear plants owned by the equivalent of a hedge fund manager.
David Freeman.
A company whose sole business is making money, and if the plant doesn't operate, they don't make money. If they put some money into safety, they don't get it back. So you've got, and then you've got the plants over 40 years old. So, and then on top of this, in the midst of all this, we find that about 1/4 of the bolts that are holding critical plates together inside the reactor, absolutely necessary for the water to flow in the right direction and keep it cooling, are broken or missing. Nobody knows whether the other 75% are going to break down tomorrow or not, but lo and behold, they're planning to go ahead and restart the plant without finding out what's causing it. Well, old age is causing it, and the plant needs to be shut down, and it is just unbelievable that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is letting the company, not even a utility, decide what's essentially a public interest issue of major proportions. So Friends of the Earth is filed a petition asking the commission to at least order the plant shut down until they find out what caused the bolts to fall apart. And they have not come up with a root cause analysis yet. They plan to be going ahead. We do not intend to quit. The commission is sort of ignoring us and sending it to the staff who's done nothing. We stay tuned, but I just think that the people of New York need to rise up in righteous anger and say, you know, this plant needs to be shut down because the power is there, and we cannot afford to take a 1% risk of being wiped out. That's what you're talking about, not to mention the fact that it's a terrorist threat of major proportions in and of itself. So I just hope that we will remember that that time bomb is sitting there, and we better shut it off before it goes off.
Mana Joe Green says what's important is for New York State to focus on offshore wind. She says that's where subsidies should be focused.
That's what's going to supply New York City in the future. If we're going to transition to a green energy economy, and now is the time to do it, offshore wind is right around the corner. The NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, has already done an environmental impact statement and given a green light, saying that the marine ecosystem will not be negatively impacted by offshore wind. The liquid natural gas proposed export terminal at Port Ambrose has been closed. We have the green light to go ahead. That's where New Yorkers' subsidies should be invested, into offshore wind. A couple of other quick points. The Public Service Commission should also focus on decommissioning. This is really something that should happen at a national level. But there is nothing to ask people. These plants are closing all over the country, and they are sooner or later, and if we don't subsidize them, Fitzpatrick is already scheduled to close, Guinea is not far behind. We need to know that there's enough money for decommissioning, and we need to know that there's a plan for safe decommissioning of nuclear power plants, and no one is facing that.
On Wednesday, June 8th, Indian Point's annual assessment meeting will occur in Westchester. Citizens groups will demand shutdown and full assessment of both Indian Point reactors, and they will oppose the restart of Indian Point 2, which is currently offline. The owner, Entergy, wants to restart it this month after a perfunctory inspection which found yet more failing bolts. Tim Judson.
So the Nuclear Regulatory Commission every year has an annual meeting around each nuclear power plant, giving their annual safety assessment for that plant. The ones around Indian Point tend to be more controversial than others. And what's happening tomorrow is that NRC is actually going to be doing a presentation not just on the safety issues at the plant in the last year, but also on the issue of the bolt degradation. And there's going to be a lot of people coming out. We encourage everyone who's interested to come out and speak their minds about this. It's really important to keep them from restarting that reactor.
The press conference I went to was sponsored by national and regional groups, including Nuclear Information and Resource Service, Hudson River Sloop, Clearwater, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Coalition Against Nukes, Radiation and Public Health Project, Beyond Nuclear, the Atlantic Sierra Club chapter, and the Lower Hudson Group of the Sierra Club. With thanks to Steve Kent, I'm Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
Take control. time. There's so much to be gained, so much to lose. I'd say that every one of us has to choose.
Environmentalist John Hull with Pete Seeger on banjo. This is from a 2008 performance when Hull was a U.S. representative. You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI in New York.